Holding on Cole Fowler on the Bay's five lines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday about the Portman Sirafim with the Irmini Sirafim, about our Brunt outside the Machner and later generations outside Yerushalayim, and the Mishnah had talked about the basic dinim of them, that the people who carry them outside and who burn them become Tomei, according to the Shimon, only the people who are involved in the burning, and where they're burnt and so forth. So now the Gemara is in the middle of a bunch of questions about these Portman Sirafim with the Irmini Sirafim. So the Gemara continues, but we had the question, does Lina passel them? Does taking them out of the Azora before the Zrika passel them? So now another one. What would happen? We said that once most of the animal is taken outside the Azora, when the people become Tomei, so now the question would be, what happens if most of the animal has been brought out, but that includes one particular aver, which is still mostly inside? So if we were to consider, now if we go according to Rui, then most of the animal is outside, but if we consider, if we look at it from the point of view of the individual Avarim, this particular aver has not gone out yet, most of it has not gone out yet, so we would have to consider that it hasn't gone out, and then without it, you don't have a Rui. In fact, Rashi talks about over here, Mahu, would the people would become Tomei or not? And then further on, Rashi actually explains that the question can also be, what if at that point it becomes Tomei, where would we burn it? Would we be burning it in the Azara or in the other place in the Harabais, as we learned yesterday about the different possibilities of where it's to be burnt. Tosfos points out that it's more logical to understand the second one based on other Gemaras, that the question is whether it would be burnt at this point if it became Tomei inside the Azara. So the question would be, Mav, what would be the din? Hachni uta de'eva basa ruba shadinim, right? Do we consider that the smaller part of this eva, which is already outside, follows the one that's still inside, v'holi nafkale? In that case, then that eva can be considered to not have gone out at all, and if it hasn't gone out, without it, you don't have a roiv of the animal. Ajumu basa ruba de behema shadinim, or maybe we go according to the roiv of the animal, and most of the animal at this point is outside. The Gemara says, what kind of question is that? Pshita delay shav kinnan, ruba de behema vazlin, vasa ruba de varin. There's no question that we should go according to the roiv of the animal and that should take precedence over most of an individual labor. Why, what's even the question? You're right. The Gemara says, Ella, rather, Rabbi Loza's question will be, shiyotza chetzio de roiv aver. What would happen? Exactly half the animal has been taken out at this point, but that half includes most of one aver. So again, the question is, now we don't have a roiv of the animal anymore. Do we say that the miut of the animal, of the individual limb, follows the roiv of the individual limb? At that point, most of that, and therefore, most of the, so now, it's a, so it's the other way around. What it is that you have the most of it has gone out, but that most, exactly half of it has gone out, but that half includes most of one aver. So now, do we say that the miut that has not gone out yet would follow the roiv that has gone out, but the roiv aver shadina lay, we would make it follow the one that's the majority outside, ba'nafakle, and at that point, that aver, therefore, will be considered to be mostly outside, and now, with that minority that remained inside, you'd have a roiv outside, ajuma basa behema shadina lay, or maybe we have, it is attached to the animal, maybe we should have to go according to the whole animal, look at the animal as a whole, and there you have that, and there you have exactly half of the animal, it's not matame yet, or the genome of the bruning in the Azora versus outside, it wouldn't apply yet. And therefore we would consider and we would ignore the fact that the individual Aver, if we were to follow the majority of the Aver, it would be considered mostly outside. Tosfos points out that when it comes to the people, when it comes to the animal, we look at the roiv. When it comes to the people who are carrying it, we don't focus on the roiv of the people. That's going to be the next question. But when it comes to the animal, maybe we go according to the roiv of the animal. Well, the Gemara says, Rav Bar Avuna, Masni Lova Gavri, Rav Bar Avuna learns that the question was indeed not about the roiv of the animal, but rather about the roiv of the people. So he says, the misasim was hamisha b'nei adam. So suppose that five people are involved in carrying the animal to go burn. V'nafku tloso poshulu uchei. Three people have already gone out of the azara. Two are still inside. My, then what do we do? Bosa roiv misaskin aslinan. Do we go according to the majority of the people who are involved in carrying it? And three is the majority of five. So now the Mishnah had said that Achronim in Matamim Begodim Keren Oda points out very simple. That would be talking about where most of the people have not gone out yet. But if we say that when most of the people have gone out, then it's considered as though all of them have gone out, then we would say even those inside are still Tomei. Oy Bosa Behemah Aslan, do we follow the Behemah and say that after all most, and we'd have to look at whether the majority of the animal has gone out yet or not. So that's the thing. So Tosfos explains that we're talking about that the animal is already outside, but maybe we only look at the roi when it comes to the animal and not when it comes to the people. And therefore, just because three of them are already outside and the animal is already outside, most of it doesn't mean that the two inside should be talking. So the Gemara says about, so the Gemara says teku. So teku. So we don't have a clear answer for those things, whether they're tamei or not. Okay. Rabbi Loza has another question. Purim and Nisrofim should yotzu v'chosu. What if they were taken out of the Azara and then they were brought back in? Mahu, what would be the din? Now, we're going to have to see what exactly the question is, because we did say in the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to immediately point that out. So Mahu, what would be the din? Miyam minin kibin denachki v'hu itamu l'hu. Do we say once they went out carrying the animal, they became tomei, and going back into the azara doesn't take away that trauma? Or duma kibin de hodur, or maybe once they came back in, then they came back in. So according to Rashi, then the question is that maybe it should be considered like they never left, and therefore they shouldn't be tamei. They and their clothes shouldn't be tamei. Tosfos wonders, and what's the law? Tumah doesn't go away because you go into the Azara. So rather, Tosfos says the question would be, what if somebody inside the Azara were to touch the, what if somebody inside the Azara would touch the Purim and Nisrofim, the Seirim and Nisrofim, would they become Tomei? So the people themselves, obviously, they're Tomei. The question would be about other people who touch it now. Do we say that once they went out, they became Tomei, and that's it? Or once they brought it back in, at least to the point that, maybe now somebody else who touches it doesn't become Tomei. Well, the Gemara says, Amar of Abba Memel, Toshma. Well, let's see in our Mishnah. We said, Ho Yusovlan Osen Mimotas. We said they were carrying the animals on poles. Harishonim Yotzachut Sachemes Azara. When the earlier ones, the ones who were walking in front, went out of the wall of the Azara of Achronim Lo Yotzu, and the ones behind them did not yet. Harishonim Shiyotzachut Sachemes Azara Matamim Begodim, and the ones who are in front, who already went out of the wall of the Azara, Matamim Begodim, and they and their clothes are Tomei, Vachronim in Matamim Begodim Ashiyetsu, the ones in the back. Don't become they and their clothes don't become Tomei until they go out. Fine, we said before that's talking about, let's say, maybe when the majority of them haven't gone out yet, because if the majority went out, then we had Rabbi Bar Huna's version of the question whether they become Tomei. But anyway, the Gemara says, "V'isach daitach kivin dinach to the huitamu." If you're going to tell me once they went out they became Tomei, hanach v'ikah gavoy l'tamid, and the ones who are in the Azara should also be Tomei, because it doesn't depend on once the pot is taken out, once the roiv of it is taken out, then everybody who's touching, everybody who's handling it becomes tomei. So therefore, evidently the question is talking about when it was brought back. And Rashi points out that the Gemara says that for later on, we're going to learn on Omer Beis that as soon as it's taken out, that's matam of godim, even if the people haven't gone out. So now if we brought it back in, of course they're going to be tamei. So what's the question? So the Gemara says Ravina says, yeah, but how do you have a svara to say that proof is correct? After all, you have to have that the people who became tomei, it says that they're tomei, they're tovel, and then they can come back into the machna. Here you don't have to, they're still in the machna, they're still in the azara. So you could say, in other words, that maybe the point of the mission is they don't become tomei as long as they're in the Azara, because the very fact that they're in the Azara prevents them from becoming Tomei. But that doesn't show anything about a case where they took it out and then brought it back in. So what exactly is Rav Elazar's question, and can we prove it one way or the other? So the Gemara says, Ella, Rabbi Elazar heichi boivah. So we have to ask then, so how did Rabbi Elazar exactly ask the question? What would have been the svara? So the answer is going to nakiti leiva bakulsi. The answer would be, what if the people are standing outside and they're holding the par with sticks? The par is still inside, but they're holding it with long sticks or long poles where the par is still inside. Now, they're outside. They're already in the place where they could become tummy. But the question is, the par is still inside. So now it was outside. Now it's brought back inside. So maybe then in that case, maybe it should be considered as though it didn't go out. Or maybe not. Maybe even when it's bifnim, then it's able to still make them tameh, and they're holding it with sticks. So in other words, do we say they went out in the azara, they became tameh, or do we say that once it was brought back, that they came back in, so they came back in, and then therefore they become their tahor, and they become tameh only when they actually carry out the animal again. Rashi points out the word bakulsi is a Yerushalmi type of lashon for a stick, and he brings an example when the Medrash tells the story of Avram breaking all of Terach's idols. It uses the word that he used, the bakulsa. He uses a bakulsa. He took a stick and broke all of them. The word might be related actually. There's a word in Latin, baculus or something like that. That from it comes the word bacteria and various other related things. That some bacteria are shaped like skin in the sticks. So it might be that same word, which would mean therefore skins. Anyway, Tosfos has a somewhat different understanding of the sugya. Tosfos has a number of questions on Rashi, and as it is actually what Rashi is saying on the sugya over here is not entirely clear. Likutei Halachos from the Chofetz Chaim points out that it might be easier to understand the sugya according to Tosfos, because Rashi over here is uncharacteristically brief and doesn't fully explain it. So Tosfos explains, in other words, the question was, when first the Gemara thought that the question, Rabbi Elazar's question is, they went out with the par and then they came back in. And then other people are starting to take out the par. Do those other people become tamei for taking it out? Or no, because it already went out of the Azara once. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel says, we see from the Mishnah that it says that when the ones behind don't become tamei, must be because when you're inside the Azara, you don't get to come tummy. So then why should people start picking it up? The question is, in other words, once they bring it out of the Azara, Melo, but in the Azara itself, why would they be tummy? Just because they pick it up. The fact is, inside the Azara, they don't become tummy. And then the Gemara says, we're talking about, let's say, where they're holding it with sticks. So they were taken out of the Azara. Then they were brought back in. Other people came out of the Azara and they're dragging it out with sticks. Do we say that the Purim already went out? The people are already outside. So therefore it should be considered like everything's outside and that they're tamei. Or do we consider that the Purim are still inside the Azara and therefore the people are tahor? In other words, the point is, Tosfos says, if new people came in, the first people, the original people, but with new clothes, then there's no question they would be tahor, even though the parim had already been taken out. So that's another way of understanding the question. Again, the Gemara leaves the question unresolved. Talking more about the parim and Israfim, Asirim and Israfim, the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, parim, these parim and Seirim, upara, and the parah adoma, which also is metame, the people who are involved in preparing it, hamshaleach, the one who sends off the sur lazazel, takes the sur lazazel, also the pasuk says becomes tame, hasurfon, the one who burns the parim and Seirim and the parah adoma, where, as we said, also they become tame, vamitzion, and the people who carry them outside, so all of them, the tamei begodim, all of them, a person who touches them, his clothing becomes tamei, meaning that he himself becomes an avatruma, and his clothing becomes, and his clothing is a rishon latruma. The reason, what we mean is clothing, it's not really only his clothing, anything else that he's touching at the moment. This is called tumah b'chiburin, that is, it's metame, things while he's touching them. So his clothes he's touching. But another, anything else, if he were to grab on to something else while he's carrying the parim and seirim, then they would become tamei as well. Afterwards, he's only a rishon l'truma. So they're all metame begodim. Behein atzman ein metame begodim. However, the par and the sur and the rest of them are not metame. The begodim are people who touch them. So in other words, if you're not involved in carrying the Purim and the Siurim and the Seraphim, you just happen to touch them, then you don't become Tamei. However, they will be metame food and drink that touches them, as the Gemara will explain soon why. Give it a mayor, that's what a mayor says. The pora and the porim, it's true, are metame food and drink that touch them, but they say, but the sora mashtalach is not metame food and drink that touches it, because shu chai, because alive, and live animals, bachlal, are not metabol tumor, and they're not metame anything else. So it's true, gzeres hakosim, that the person is taking the sora lazozol to become tame, but the chachamim are saying, you can't go so far as to say that it should be metame ufonamashkin. But both of them do agree that anybody who touches them, where he's not actually involved in the carrying them, is not actually going to become tame. It's not, in other words, like the par and the rest of them. It's not like they're intrinsically tame. It's rather that the Torah says the people who touch them, the people who carry them, or the people who burn them, become tame, but not just anybody random who touches them. Okay. The Gemara says, Vishlema le Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, it's easy to understand why he says that all of them, including the Sura Vazazel, are Metame Ochlun Umashkin. You're going to say, like the Chacham said, live animals are not able to become Tomei. Why should the Sura and Mashalayah be Metame food and drink that it touches? Still, we can understand what Rav Meir is saying as follows. Kedetonet Veda Bishmol. As we learn in Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tonet Veda Bishmol, the Torah says, regarding the Torah, when the Torah talks about food becoming Tomei, the expression is, Alkol Zera Zerua. The Torah describes, if let's say, for example, a dead sheretz falls on any seed that can be planted. And then the pasuk goes on to say that they have to have had water or one of the Shiva Mashkim fall on it before that to become Tomei. Now, why does it mention seeds if it applies to all foods? Seeds are not going to eventually become a stronger kind of tumor. Stronger kind of tumor means basically an ava tumor, something that's able to be metame anything, including people and kalim. Tumor kala would be a vlada tumor, which is only metame food and drink. Now, the seeds are never going to be able to be metame tumor hamura, because the maximum they can have is that the maximum they become is tomei nes. And the Rashi explains in Chulin, even if food were to touch an aviyah boisa tumah, then we learn that only things that can become tohar in a mikveh can become a tumah chamura, and therefore food is not. Food is only going to be a food maximum. It can be never more than a rishon l'tumah. So seeds are not able to become tumah chamura. They're not able to become an avat tumah to be metamic people or kalim or clothing or tzrichin hechsher, and they do require hechsher. You have to have one of the shiva mashkin falls on them or wets them in order for them to be able to become tumah afterwards. Af kol, we learn from Vamatzinu, then the same thing. Anything else, strange say from the tamah tumah chamura, anything else which is not going to eventually have tumah chamura, tzrichin hechsher, then it requires heksher, it requires to be wedded with one of the shiva mashkin in order to be able to become tamei. Now, therefore, yotz and nivlas oif tahar, so that excludes the case of a dead kosher bird that was not shechted. We learned earlier in the Masechta, that sort of thing makes a person tamei when he swallows it. We're going to learn more about it in Chulin Ves Hashem. Now that dead kosher bird is capable of having a tumah chamura, because if a person eats that bird, as we learned before, he himself and his clothing that he's wearing at the time becomes tameh. So therefore that bird is, unlike regular food, it can have a tumah chamura, it can be an ava tumah. Therefore, he says, the ain't sricha hechsher, and therefore it does not require hechsher. Even as soon as the bird died, it's already able to become tame with. So let's say, for example, a dead sheretz at this point were to touch this bird, then we would say that it automatically is able to become tahar, even without a hechsher, even without being wedded with one of the shiva mashkin. Well then we can understand Reb Meir's opinion about the Sura Mashtaleach in the same vein. The Sura Mashtaleach, who is a living animal. Living animals are not be able to be Makabal Chuma, but this one is Sura Matame Chuma Chamura. It is going to cause the person who's dealing with the Sura Mashtaleach is going to be himself become Tome later. Therefore, we have reason to say that even now it touches something. Therefore, even now, if it touches food, it's able to be Matame. So we can understand Reb Meir's opinion. But you have to ask the coins of the Chachamim. Why do they say the Purim and Sfirim are different than the Seir and Shaleach? If they agree with what Tanit Veda Bishmal said, then Afilu Sarda Mashaleach, then it should apply to the Sarda Mashaleach as well, because it's true. Anything that's Tumah Chamorah, and Sarda Mashaleach is going to be Tumah Chamorah. The E Lesle, and if they don't know, actually, if they don't hold of what Rabbi Shmuel says, Afilu Paru Parim Minavan, and why should the Paru Abdomah, or the Paru Manisirafim, why should they be Mitama either? So the Gemara answers, Ki Osir of Digi, and you can't say, for example, necessarily that they become Tomei with the blood of the Shchita, because the Gemara elsewhere talks about that the blood of Shchita is not Machshul Kabbal, the blood of Shchita of Korbanos is not Machshul Kabbal Tomei. So the Gemara says, Ki Osir of Digi, when Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Omar, he said, Amrid Marava, they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, specifically the Gemara mentions the Sanhedrin, that means Rabbi Yumi had said, Srithin Hechshur Tomei Mokam Acha. It is true. What Rabbi Shmuel doesn't mean that when Rabbi Shmuel talks about the Tumah Chamorah, what he means is, in other words, that they anything that doesn't require Tumah Chamorah, anything that does not going to have Tumah Chamorah, Tzrichin Hechshur Tumah Mimakim Acher. All it means is that they're going to need, in order to become Tameh, they need to touch something that's Tameh. As opposed to anything that's going to be Tumah Chamorah is Tomei on its own. So it has nothing to do with, in other words, the fact is it has to be something which is capable of becoming Tomei, in other words. So he means, in other words, that food, for example, is not going to become Tomei automatically. It has to touch a Sheretz or an Avela. When it's going to have Tumah Chamorah, then it means, in other words, that it automatically is Tomei. But it has to at least be Chozi L'Tumah, as Rashi says. It has to be something that usually would be capable of being a Kabbal Tumah. A live animal is not capable of being the Kabbal Tumah, therefore the Chum said that's excluded from the rule. So they're not arguing with Tonad Veda Bishmal, but what does Tonad Veda Bishmal mean? Does it mean when he says Ainit Sricha Hechcher, doesn't mean that it doesn't need to be wedded with the Shiva Mashkin, but it doesn't matter whether it's something that usually can become Tomei or not, or do we not care about that second point or not? So that explains the Chachamim's opinion. So now the Gemara says in this connection, Boy Rabbi Elazar. So now Rabbi Elazar has a question in this connection. Where the Purim and Nisirim and Nisrafim, are they able to make food and drink inside the Azara Tomei just as they would outside? There's no question. We just said that outside they're going to be Matama Oichlun Mashkin. Both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim agree to that. But what about when they're inside the Azara? Do we consider the fact that they haven't been taken out of the Azara that's considered like they're lacking a Maisa? Now you can't consider that they're Soifa Matama Tumah Chamorah, because Soifa Matama Tumah Chamorah means that it means that as they are, it's capable of being Matama Tumah Chamorah. The Niblas Oif Tahar that we said before, for example, all the person has to do is swallow it. As soon as the moment he swallows it, he becomes Tame. So you don't really need any other Maisa to make it susceptible to being Matame a person. But here they have to actually carry it out of the Azara, so maybe that should be considered. That therefore they're not matame yet when they're inside. Oh, lawyer, maybe we don't say that, and it's considered Misoifa Matame Tumah Chamorah, and immediately then Tumah Kala will apply, and they're able to make food Tame. Tosfos wonders, wait a minute, then in that case, when they're in the Azara, they're going to be matame the Emurim of the animal. So Tosfos says, yeah, I mean, as long as they're attached, there's definitely mechusar ma'aser. There's no question they're not matame until after the emurim are cut out. We're going to talk about the moment the emurim are cut out, that last strand that you cut to remove them. So let's say Tosfos says you could be talking about that you pull them off b'chol koyche. They pull them off out of the animal with their full maximum strength, and therefore they're like, there's no moment over there. You can't really think of a moment when they were last connected because they were pulled away so forcefully. Tosfos then brings from the Yerushalmi that has a different question. That phrases the question differently. The question is whether maybe they need, do they not need Hechshur Tumah, and therefore they're already metamic people's clothing. And in fact, so Tosfos says, the Yerushalmi says, what about the Emurim? And the answer is the same way, for example, as Mei Chatos, when a person carries Mei Chatos paradromal water, then it becomes tamei, but we don't say sprinkle something with paradromal water, and therefore automatically it becomes tamei again for touching the paradromal water. It doesn't work that way. So the same way over here, the Yerushalmi says, very simple, the potim and istrachim, even if we say that they're matame inside the matame food and drink, inside the azara, they wouldn't be matame the emurim, because that's the very thing from which the emurim were just separated. So therefore, but again, the question is, what about if it's inside the Azara? What would happen? Would we say that it's Metame Oichun Mashkin inside the Azara or not? Both the Boya Hoda Pashta, after the Lozer asked the question, he then answered it, as a matter of fact, yes, not bringing it out yet is considered as a major mice lacking, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel's rule about Tumo Hamura wouldn't apply, and therefore it's not Matame food and drink inside the Azara. So now we don't have to have any problem with the Emurim. Now is you don't have to do like Tosfos is saying and forcefully pull them away, you can cut them away gently, and it's still not a problem. So the Gemara brings in this connection a related question about the Niblas Oif Torah. Bominate of Abba Bashmul Min of Chiba Abba, Niblas Oif Torah but a mayor. Following the mayor's point of view, who we just said that a mayor says that even the living Surah Mashaleach is able to be Mutame. So Niblas Oif Torah but a mayor. So if we follow the mayor's opinion, Maushi Tame Bekazayas, would we say that even a Kazayas of it, that a person touches of the Nivas Oif Torah is already going to be Matame him, because again it's so for Matame Tumah Hamura, because it's able to later on, now we know it's not going to make a person Tame. The person is going to become Tame only by swallowing it. But the question is, what about if food or drink touches it? So and it touches a kazayis of it, which is the amount. There's machlokas. We're showing him, by the way, whether there's a minimum amount of food to become tamei. Do you need a kazayis to become tamei, or can any amount become tamei? It's machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. But to make something else tamei, everybody agrees you need at least a machlokas Tosfos and Rashi Tosfos and the Rambam argue on that one. But to be matamei something else, everybody agrees that you need a kazayis. Well then, now so. So now, according to the Chachamim, there's no question, because the fact is it's only going to be Matame, but based on Bliya, only when you swallow it, up until that point, it's not a source of Tumah at all. So it's like the living Sur, where according to the Chachamim, there's no reason why it would be Matame food or drink. But according to the mayor, would we say that it can be Matame because it's Sur for Matame Tumah Hamura? And again, we said the mayor doesn't care about whether it's something that normally is capable of causing Tumah. So the question is, so like this, the masala ara. So now, when it's on the ground, there's no question, there's no reason why it would be matame anything, because nobody might ever swallow it. And on the other hand, the nukit b'pumei lotiboyloch. Conversely, if he has it in his mouth already, then for sure it's going to be matame, other food and drink in his mouth. But then all he has to do is swallow it, and then there's really no mechusa maisa. So now at this point, any food that's in his mouth at the same time is going to be is going to become tame. The question be in nukit lebiyade, where he's holding that kazayis of the nivras of Torah in his hand. So the question being, the fact that he has to still bring it closer to his mouth, is that considered like it's lacking a maisa, or not? And therefore maybe it would already be matame, because all he has to do is bring it to his mouth. So the Gemara says, "Bosa de boya hoda posha." After we asked the question, he gave the answer. That's in parenthesis. Not everybody is good at it. But anyway, Rav Chiya Abba answers, "Mechusav kriva lav to mechusav ma'isa dami." In fact, bringing it close is not considered a lack of mechusav ma'isa. So yes, it will in fact be matame chumakala. At that point, even if it's in his hand already, then it will be matame any food and drink that it touches, because there will eventually be a chumachamorda. Actually, I said before, kazayas, really, actually, when it comes to the matame, other food, you need a kabeitza, actually. But here, the question is, kazayas is enough to be matame, and when he swallows it, so again, is it maybe enough to be matame for other food? To regularly to be matame food, you usually need a kazayas, something like a kabeitza. So the one says, Aesvik. Sort of, Alav HaShmuel says, in that case, I have a contradiction from the first Mishnah in Tanakh. The Mishnah says, Shloisha asim dvarim nemru b'niblas oif tovar. There are 13 dinim said regarding the carcass of a dead kosher guru. And one of them is as follows. Shricha machshava, the first couple of them are, Okay. First couple of them are Sicha Machshava. You need to have Machshava. You need to think that you really need to think that he's going to eat it. The Gemara elsewhere talks about, we're talking about, there's a difference in this regard between cities and villages, because in villages they have fewer people and more foods. They're not reduced to eating such things, whereas in the cities they might be. But anyway, the point is, so Sicha Machshava, it needs to be that the person thinks and decides that he's going to eat it. The Ein Sicha Hechsher. However, it does not need Hechsher. Do you not need to wet it with one? You do not need to wet it with one of the Shiva Mashkin. Or Matame Tumas Eichlam Kebetza. And it's Matame other food when there's a Kebetza. Because again, to be Matame other food, everybody agrees that you need a Kebetza, whether it itself can become Tomei. With less than that, then you have Machlokas Rashi Tosfos and the Rambam, whether it's able to. In any case, the point is, now Rashi says the fact that we're saying that it requires machshava but not hechsher must be, we're talking about it, so if it's in his hands, if it's on the ground or on a table or something, what do you mean ain't it tzricha hechsher? Why shouldn't it need a hechsher? We said before, if it's on the ground, then it's not even necessarily nobody's going to be eating it. And if he's holding it in his mouth, then we certainly don't need machshava. And we're seeing that only a kebetza is enough to be metame other food, not a kazais. Tosfos has a question on that, and instead say that the reason why the Gemara assumes, the reason why the Rav Avraham Shmuel assumes that we're talking about he's holding it in his hand, because then there would be a chiddush, then the Mishnah would be telling us a chiddush that it requires a kebetza. If it's on the ground, then of course it requires a kebetza. So my Rav Meir, he shouldn't be assumed that this Mishnah is, so shouldn't we assume that this Mishnah is like Rav Meir? So you see, therefore, that even though he's holding it in his hand, and again, Rashi and Tosfos have their various ways of assuming that the Mishnah is in fact like a mayor, then in that case, it would show that only that even when he has it in his hands, it still requires machshava. So the Priya Ba'aba is saying Mukhusa Priya Balav Kum Mukhusa Maisa Jami, and already a Kazayis of it is Matame food and drink, but it comes out from what we just said that apparently not, only you need a Kabetza of it. And the answer is like, not necessarily Rabbanon. You could be like the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, V'ha'al Katoni Reisha, but the Mishnah had started saying, Tzricha Machshava and Tzricha Hechsher. Before we got to the point, the Tama Tumas Oten, the Kebetza, before that, the Mishnah had said, the first two things that listed are Tzricha Machshava, it requires Machshava, and Tzricha Hechsher, but it does not require Hechsher, it does not require being wedded with one of the Shiva Mashkin. Why? Because of the Mishmah's rule about Tumah Chamorah. Now, which Tana do we find holds of such a Svara? Reb Meir. That was Reb Meir, as we learned on Amar Aleph. Because we just said that, and for that matter, earlier in the Masechta, we talked about this, and we talked about Reb Meir's opinion on the, Reb Meir's opinion on the subject. When we had talked about previously about the Nidlas Oif Tahar, then in fact we had mention of the point that we had mention of the point of when exactly is it Mitame, and we said that it's Mitame that's Mitame when the person swallows it and under what circumstances and so forth. So we see that Meir is the one who holds that it requires machshava and it doesn't require hechsher, because that was Reb Meir who said that. Only the reisha of Meir. So if the reisha of the Mishnah is like Reb Meir, sefer nami Reb Meir, then the sefer should also be like Reb Meir. The Gemara says midi yiriyah. What kind of a proof is that? Hakadisa. Different parts may have been taught by different tanoim. Part like Reb Meir and part like the chachamim. Sometimes we can do that. So the Gemara says, "V'homi deKatani Sefer." Yeah, but then the Sefer, the Mishnah continues, "Shlitosa only." Sorry, Reb Meir's opinion is actually before the Reb Meir's opinion. Rashi had referred to the Reb Meir's opinion. That's going to be what we're talking about now. So V'homi deKatani Sefer, the Mishnah continues, "Shlitosa only Kosam Taheres Treifosim Mitumasa." Whether the bird was shechted or whether Malika was done, bird of a korban, either way, if the bird turns out to be Treifa, nevertheless, the fact that it was shechted or Malika was done prevents it from being the tamei, because even though it's a treifa and you can't eat it, nevertheless the fact is it did undergo a proper shita or malika. Man shamet lehi svara. Who do you find says such a svara? Reb Meir. We found Reb Meir said that back on Daf Samach Tes, that we had a three way machloikas over there. Reb Meir had said you did malika, you found the bird to be treifa. Reb Meir says not the tamei beis avdia. Reb Yehuda said it did, and Reb Yosi had said with shita would, and then went with malika not. So kind of an in between thing. So now, so Reb Meir is the one who holds that if the, that even if the brood is tray for the fact that Malika was done, makes it tougher. So now it's going to come out. If you're going to say that the beginning of the Mishnah is like the mayor. The beginning is like the Chachamim. The middle was like the mayor. Then we're going back to or the other way around. First the mayor, then the Chachamim. So now Reisha the Sefer the mayor and the Yosef Rabbanon. You're going to tell me the beginning and the end of the Mishnah are like the mayor and the middle part of a line in between is like the Chachamim. And the Gemara says, and yes, we could say that. Reisha the Sefer, Remeir, and Tziyasa Rabbanon. Yes, we could say that. It's not such a big deal. Now, a bunch of Mephoshim point out, actually, that when the Gemara is saying that only the mayor holds that only the mayor holds that it's going to be Metame, the fact is, we said on Amun Aleph, the Chachamim will agree it's Metame as well. They're just saying that, for example, living animals are not going to be Metame. So there's a whole different piece over here that a whole Rabbi Eger asks that question, and there are Ridor that asks the question over here in Gurin Ashas. So we said before that even the Rabbanon agree with Tonid Rabbi Shmuel only by the Sereh Mishtaleach because not Makabel Truma. So Gurin Ashas or Rabbi Eger leaving the question open. Achronim bring a gear, the Shittim Mukubetzes. It has a gear that forestalls the question. According to them, the question was that we said that this is Nivlas Oz Torah, and it's Tzricha Machshava, and it's Tzricha Hechsher, and it's Tabetza, not a Kazayas. Wouldn't that be according to the mayor? That we see that even according to the mayor, if you need a Tabetza, not a Kazayas. So in other words, the way we have the Gemara is in front of us seems to be that we're asking that. So yeah, it starts with the same question, that according to the mayor, it would seem that you need a Tabetza, not a Kazayas. But here we see that Kazayas, although Kazayas seems to be enough. The Gemara says so. Wouldn't that be a point to the mayor? And the answer is no. It's a point to Chachamim. But then the Gemara asks. But then we said that the Shchitoso Melikosa Metaheres, and that's a point to the mayor. So then at that point is when the Gemara asks that if the Sefer is like the mayor, the ratio would be like the mayor. And then the Gemara says that no, that's not a proof. You can have one part of like the mayor, one part like the Chachamim. So a different Gusa that takes out part that takes out of some lines of the Gemara over here. And therefore, the Gemara has not gone through three parts of the Mishnah of Eilim Taharas, only two parts, and says that that it comes out that one part is like Reb Meir and the other part is like Chachamim, and the Gemara says big deal, it could be that way. So the Gemara continues. Rav Hamnuna asks Rav Zera, "Lo tesa bakara, do not sit down on your feet, meaning don't sit down, stay standing on your feet. Ad amatli hom milsa, until you tell me the following answer." The pastor says, "Rav Hamnuna, Rav Zera," so you can tell him to do that. So he tells him, "Niblas oif Torah, the mayor." You have to ask. It's pointed at mayor that we're talking about this whole matter with niblas oif Torah. Moinin bo rishin b'sheni. Do we count Rishon and Sheni with it? In other words, do we say the food that touched this Nivlas Oif Tahor, which we just established that according to the mayor particularly, it's able to be Metame. So now will it make the food that it touches a Rishon, and then any food that touches will become a Sheni, and so forth. Or maybe we don't. Only what touches it becomes Tame, and it's not Metame anything else. Because after all, the tumor of Nivlas Oif Tahor is a bit of a unique tumor. According to the Chachamim, that you need a Kabetza, then of course it's considered like a Rishon the Truma, and therefore there's no question that it creates a Sheni the Truma. But the question will be, according to the mayor, who said that it's considered an Abba Truma, even without swallowing it, so now would we say that it has the regular rules of Abba Truma, that it can produce a Rishon, and a Rishon can produce a Sheni, or do we not say that? So Rav Omalei, so Rav Zeta answers, Kol Heifa ben Tama Odom Maga, the rule is going to be, whenever it makes a person Tomei, when he touches it, Moinin bo Rishon v'Sheni, then that kind of Abba Tumah produces a Rishon and produces a Sheni and so on. V'chol Heicha, the Ein Matama Od Mamadah, if it can't make a person Tomei with touching it, Ein Moinin bo Rishon v'Sheni, then we do not count Rishon and Sheni with it, meaning, in other words, that, so therefore, now in this case, everybody agrees that touching the dead kosher brood, the Nivlas Oif Torah, does not make a person Tomei, only swallowing it. So therefore, Rav Zeta says, in that case, Rishon and Sheni will not apply. We'll say they're appointed to the mayor. It'll make food Tomei, but not to the extent that now that food can make other things Tomei. Okay. The Gemara continues, Bominir Rav Zeta mer Rav Ami Bachia. In turn, Rav Zeta asked from Ami Bachia, Va'amila mer Rav Oven Bachana. Others say he asked Rav Oven Bachana. What about this that we learn in a Mishnah? It's really Titania, it says on the side. It's a Braise. Chiburi Uchanai de Mashkin. when you have food that's connected together with liquid. So let's say, for example, you have a pan and you have two pieces of tummy food in it. You have, let's say, a half pizzazz of novella in different parts of the pan, and then you have liquid in between, enough liquid that to say a hamanas matia, and connecting the two of them. So that is considered chibur, it is considered connecting them, and therefore, if a person touches one of those half pizzazzim, then he's going to become tummy because you have a complete pizzazz over there. The tumakala, but that's only as far as tumakala, not that a person touches it becomes tummy, but only as far as food and drinks. The ain chibur, the tumachamura, however, will not be a connection as far as tumachamura, a person, okay, then we'll touch that thing, will not become tummy. Rashi wonders why not? Why should there be the difference? Tosfos discusses as far as the scenario over here, we might be talking about, for example, not so much where there's loose liquid connecting them, but where they melted and then where they melted down and now they're sort of stuck together. In any case, but yeah, Tosfos doesn't explain either why indeed there should be that distinction, that it should be the time of food and drink, but not Kaden. Anyway, so you have to consider, so the question would be, so now in that case, when we say it's considered connected to metami, food and drink, would we consider that now you have a rishon and a sheni from that or not? And Rav Ami Bachia or Rav Oven Bakahana answers him, Kol Heich the Metama Odom, Monin by Rishon and Sheni, whenever it's Metama a person, then we count Rishon and Sheni, Shein Metama Odom, and Monin by Rishon and Sheni, if it's not Metama a person, we don't. So, in other words, the Gemara has brought Reb Zeta's questions out of chronological order. First, he asked this one, and then based on that, he was able to answer Reb Hamnuna's question before. We said in the Mishnah, Yotzu Elu Ve'elu, we said once both groups had gone out, then they're both Mekama V'Bodim. So the Gemara says, Menohani Givi, how do we know that, now the Tanakama had said that when they go out of the Azara is when they do them when they're Mekama V'Bodim. Whereas Reb Shimon, I disagree, said only when the fire catches on to most of the enemy. So Menohani Givi, where do we know this from? That as soon as they go out of the Azara, they're Mekama. We turn it on, we learn in a Braisa, regarding the Korbanos, regarding the Pyre and Sor of Yom Kippur. And the pasuk says lahalon. Now lahalon who omer. Now it doesn't say by Yom Kippur where exactly they take it. He says they take it el mesulta machne, but how many machnas? Lahalon who omer. Now by tar toyin mashiach and tar helam davar shok sibur. It says who omer shchutz v'sholosh machnas. It says that they have to be taken out of the three machnas to be burnt. So outside of the machne Yisrael and in later generations outside Yerushalayim. But can machna achnas by Yom Kippur? The pasuk only mentions one machna. It just says yotzi el mesulta machne. So what does that mean? Do you burn them in the Harabayas? No. It means that all, though the fact is, we learned through the Urim and Masechta that we learned the dinim of the Torbonus of Yom Kippur from the Torbonus, we learned back and forth between the Torbonus of Yom Kippur and the Pyre and Surah and Israfim. So therefore, so there's no question that you don't burn it outside only one Machna, it's all three. So what is, why did it mention only one Machna by Yom Kippur? Loim Allah tells you, Kibin Chiyotza, put the Machna Achas, as soon as the Pyre and the Surah have been taken out of one machna, then already matame the godim, then already the matame the people and their clothing. Okay, the Gemara says, "Vehi gufa menolon." Fine. By the Torah and the Sirtim themselves, how do we know that it means when it says that you take them outside? How do we know by them it means chutz l'sholosh machnas? So look, this Tana Rabban, we learn in another brayse. The hotzias kol haporah mechutz l'machna. The pasuk says you should take the whole power, talking about power called Mashiach, outside the machna and burn it. That means chutz l'sholosh machnas. That means outside the three machnas. Now, after oimah chutz l'sholosh machnas, so you're saying that it means that oyena ela machna achas, oyena ela machna achas. Maybe it means that you just take it out of one machna and you burn it in machna leviyah, which in later generations would be the harabayis. No, shu oimah par ha'eda, but it says also about par helam davar shol tzivu. It says the same expression, the chutz l'machna, that you take it with chutz l'machna. She'en sorach loimah. Now it doesn't need to say that sharik l'nema, because it already said. Pasha Sorach has a horarishan and already said that you should burn it like you burnt the earlier power. So we already know that it has to be taken outside one machna. So it means Litimun Machna Shnia means that at that point it's assigning a second machna that it has to be taken out of. So now it has to be taken out of Machna Leviya, which would be the Hanabats. So Omim Machutza Machna, the Deshin. Now, Pasuk also says by when they take out the deshin, when they take out the ashes of the mizbeach, and bring them outside Yerushalayim, it also says, mechutz l'machna, v'hotzias deshin mechutz l'machna. She'ein sorech loimah, now didn't need to say that. Sharek l'nema al shefach hadeshin yisorech by the power koyin mashiach. It says that it should be burned in the place where the ashes are poured out, and automatically then we know that's outside the machna. Literally, machna shlishis, and that tells us that you have a third machna So in other words, because you have three times, the Torah mentions this point about the Sulfa Machna, by the Par Koin Mashiach, by the Par Helam Davashot Tzibur, and by the Tzor Sadeshim, and all of them are in the same place, then therefore it means that you have, then that means that you have, it has to be taken outside of all three Machnas. So that explains it. So that explains the Chacham's opinion. Of why it has to be taken out, and not only why it has to be taken out outside all three machnas. Fine, that we learned, but we said the previous Braisa had said that because it says by Yom Kippur, after all, it only says machna, then that means as soon as it goes out of one machna, then automatically the people become tamei. So that explains the Chacham's opinion. Rav Shimon's opinion, we'll continue and we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.